What are we doing? Ugh. You have a guy, a little authority here.
Yep.
Yeah, anyhow, yeah, welcome back to the Carton Show with Big Mac. Great to have you here, 888-808-1019. Obviously, Mike Tomlin steps down, but he's going to stay out for a year. Harbaugh is going to be in New Jersey tomorrow, So that's exciting for the Giants. And quick little baseball thought. Apparently, all the reports out there that the New York Mets are negotiating with Kyle Tucker on a relatively short deal.
Yeah.
It's a 3-year deal is what we're hearing.
That's kind of what we're hearing, but we're hearing the monetary value per year would be $50 million.
Yeah, and look, God bless you. I mean, you got the money to spend, go spend it. Mm-hmm. Yankee fans would probably mock the Mets for giving them that kind of money. Met fans would mock the Yankees for not getting Tucker because obviously who wouldn't want Tucker, you know, playing for them? But if at any point in my lifetime you told me that that dude, good player for sure,
yep,
that guy was getting $50 million a year, I'd say, what the hell's gone wrong in the world? And again, if he gets a good friend,
yeah,
you know, I know he's going to get 45,
yeah,
by all accounts, right? Mm-hmm. Wherever he winds up going.
Well, I mean, it depends, right? The Mets are willing to give him, I don't think anyone expected this much money, but if he's willing to take the shorter term deal,
right,
with less commitment, that's why they're giving him the more annual value. And I'm surprised his market, we all thought he was going to hit close to $400 million. This time last year, like, everyone just suspected he was going to be that this next free agency after Juan Soto got his $765 million.
Yeah, can't take it back.
The perception was he's, you know, like that next class under, he's going to get around $400 million. That contract does not seem to be out there. So the Mets are pulling a trick here and saying, hey, listen, that contract isn't happening.
And then you get another contract.
We'll give you another contract. You'll make $150 over the next three, and then you can hit free agency again at 32.
Right.
And see if you can get another contract for more money. Yeah. Who knows where the baseball's going?
Well, it's not a stupid move.
No.
And
they should. They've got the richest owner in baseball.
Right.
Who cares how much money it is?
Dude, I agree 100%.
He doesn't care how much he's paying in the luxury tax. Go out. They need. You said one of the first things was, who's their outfielders? One of the first things you asked me when we
said you can't, right now, you cannot name
They're in desperate need of a starter. They're in desperate need of a middle of the lineup hitter, an outfielder.
Yeah.
Like, he solves a lot of their problems, and they should absolutely go give him $50 million if he's willing to take that contract.
All right, well, we're going to keep an eye on it. Obviously, Met fans are all excited now about the prospect of being in the driver's seat on that deal.
What felt like a miserable offseason.
Yeah, could change in a
could
flash.
Could change real quick. They go get Kyle Tucker and win that sweepstakes, which nobody had them on just a week ago. And then they go out and add a starting pitcher, and suddenly the Mets are back.
Here's John in Oxford, Connecticut on the fan. John, what's going on, Cookie?
Oh, thanks for taking the call. Craig and G-Max. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Excellent show, guys. You guys are doing fantastic. Listen, you brought up, are you smarter than a football player?
Yeah.
Okay. I want to hit you with, are you smarter than a radio host?
Ooh, I like the game. Let's do it. Go ahead.
Okay.
Yeah.
I asked this question to Steve Summers about 6 months ago, and he did not know the answer.
Ooh,
this is an inside radio question.
Oh, just to be fair,
it's so similar to what you just asked.
Okay,
are you
ready? Yes.
Definition of AM, FM.
Yeah, well, you're talking to a radio geek and savant here, so I know the answer. I'm not sure if my partner does, though. Do you happen to know the answer?
I do.
I know the answer as well.
I'll
spot you the M. How's that?
Yeah, go ahead.
Modulation.
Yeah.
Okay, do you know the A and the F?
Frequency?
Yes, that's correct.
Frequency modulation?
Frequency meaning it goes faster.
Okay.
Because FM signals are more like an up and down, up and down, up and down.
Right, right.
Which is better for music.
Right, right.
And what's the A and AM?
Analog?
By the way, not a horrendous guess.
No,
it's amplitude.
Amplitude.
And amplitude.
Steve Summers did not know the answer to that question. It blew me away that he didn't know it. Good for you, Craig.
So, but I'm a radio geek. I'll be the first to tell you that.
Well,
so AM, it goes almost like if you're drawing like semicircles.
Mm-hmm.
That's why it goes farther,
right,
but gets staticky. Whereas FM is up, down, up, down, up, down.
Right.
So it doesn't have the shelf life. Or the reach that AM has.
Right.
So a little valuable lesson for you.
Yeah, valuable lesson.
And why are we, when we were on 660, which I know we still are, that's referred to as a 50,000 watt clear channel, not the company, station.
Yep.
Because during the war, the government tried to figure out, World War One, how to figure out how do we disseminate information to as many people as possible with as few as radio stations as possible.
Mm-hmm.
So they created 50,000 watt clear channel AM stations so that you could go from New York to Los Angeles, and I think it's six radio stations, or maybe four, that get you there.
Okay.
So it was obviously 660, mm-hmm. right, which originally was WNBC.
Yeah, right.
All right? And then it goes to, I think, I want to say St. Louis has one. Well, Cleveland has one first, 3WE, then to St. Louis, and then I think there's one more before you get to California.
Okay.
So four or five radio stations you could broadcast to the entire country.
Right.
Pretty cool.
That is pretty cool.
Yeah.
I did not know that.
Well, now you learned something about radio.
I know that driving through the windy roads of the kidnapped capital of the world, yeah. I have to, AM is the only way to go.
And by the way, mm-hmm. you know who loves fan on AM?
The Yankees?
A certain person with the Yankees.
Lon Trost?
The other one.
Oh,
Come on. You better know his name.
I do know his name.
Better get it right.
I know. I'm drawing a blank.
Yeah, if you think please. You're going to a Yankee game with me, you better get this man's name.
No,
Randy course. Levine.
Randy Levine. I'm sorry.
He's an old school guy.
Yeah.
And by the way, there's a lot of listeners for the fan, older mm-hmm. guys, that love that kind of staticky, tinny AM sound.
Yeah.
Randy Levine loves listening mm-hmm. to Yankee games on 660.
Yep.
And now that I'm back, he also likes it on 101.9. Yeah. So I'm just letting you know.
Okay, now that you're back?
Yeah, that's right. Why? You've always been here. Like, you didn't go anywhere.
No.
He just didn't listen to you. Now he does. He told me that.
What does that mean?
No, he's a big fan of yours now.
Oh, okay, now. Yeah,
he didn't know your name.
Well, instead you said 101.9, what's the difference? You could hear me on both.
Well, we're on 101.9, are we not?
We're on AM as well.
Yeah, I'm saying, but he listens on AM.
Right, so.
Just so you know, not a fan of yours. But now he is.
That was a weird way to say that. I was on both. I don't understand.
Here's Brendan, Massapequa Park. Brendan, what's going on, Cookie?
Hello again, guys. Yes. I'm excited to be back on with you. I just I got to ask C-Mac first before we move on. Would he be willing to hire Kevin Petullo as his offensive coordinator on the flag football team?
Great question.
Great question. Yeah. I would.
I'm not sure if he'd call the right place for Chris's kids, but 100% he would. Right. He's a big Eagle guy.
I know he wouldn't wear an Eagle uniform anymore.
That's true. What do you got?
The other thing is, though, the whole Tomlin situation, I know it sounds like he's going to stay the year out.
Yeah,
but I feel like that's the situation you got to ask the question. You know, and it's very delicate for the Giants because they seem so linked to Harbaugh. But
so here's the question I have for you. So it's an interesting question because Tomlin, like you even had Tomlin ranked a teeny bit higher than Harbaugh. Mm-hmm. So I'm solely to be devil's advocate, not to start an argument, just to be devil's advocate. And the devil's advocate would say, why do you want a coach in Tomlin who went a decade without a playoff win? The devil's advocate against Harbaugh is why would you want a guy that in 18 years has only one Super Bowl ring and wasted the prime years of Lamar Jackson? Obviously, I think very highly of both guys, and I'd be happy with either guy, as you would as well.
Yep.
But it's a fair devil's advocate question.
Yeah. No, I mean, listen, Lamar Jackson has been a two-time MVP. He's been one of the best playmakers in the NFL. And for the last handful of years, he's failed with him as the quarterback. What makes you think he's going to take Jackson Dart on? I mean, any Giant fan would, I mean, as high as my expectations are for Jackson Dart and as much as I think of him, the idea he's going to become Lamar Jackson is really pie in the sky wishful thinking. A two-time MVP.
Oh, it's almost impossible.
It's almost impossible to become as good as Lamar Jackson.
That's not a fair comp. You're right.
So he couldn't win with Lamar Jackson. What makes you think he's going to win?
Yeah, that's the devil's advocate.
Right, that's the devil's advocate argument. The argument is he's had the MVP of the league since 2018, and he's gotten worse in the postseason.
Yeah, one AFC championship game. That's
he was better before. Like, not just the Super Bowl, his playoff resume and wins.
It's twice as good.
Twice as good before Lamar Jackson, worse after Lamar Jackson.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a fair question. Now, doesn't mean he's not a great coach. Doesn't mean he's not the right guy for the Giants. He is. But the devil's advocate says, we guys, Giant fans, and I'd be the same way if this was the Jets. So I'm not going to say that I'd be any different than you are right now.
Right.
Like, we're going crazy because he represents something we haven't had since Coughlin. A legitimately competent, successful coach who has won.
Right.
Like Tom Coughlin took the Jacksonville Jaguars to an AFC championship game and beat the Denver Broncos in Denver. Mm-hmm. Right. So he had competency. He had shown the ability to win. Right.
Yes.
Since then, there's been a lot of guys that haven't.
The question I have for you,
that's fair, is are we overstating how good a coach he is?
Yeah.
Because we are desperate to get a good coach.
No.
Okay.
I don't think we're overstating how good a head coach he is. No, I'm just saying.
That's fine.
I don't think we are. We are talking about the premier coaching candidate right now on the market who is a program builder and a proven winner.
Yeah.
I don't think anyone, even Giant fans, and here's my point, I don't think we're stating that this makes the Giants a Super Bowl champion.
No, you're not.
Like, we're just saying this is the kind of competent head coach who is going to come in here, take over the building, and turn this franchise into a productive, winning franchise that we can all be proud of.
Do you think...
And the days of being the dregs of the NFL are over. And I believe that's a fair assessment. Nobody's... I don't think anybody's planting the flag and saying by 2030 we're Super Bowl champs.
No, that's fair.
Yeah.
Do you think that Yankee fans are the exact same animal as Steeler fans?
Yeah.
Is that a fair comp? Level,
yeah, I mean, I think the Yankees, amazingly enough, have had more success.
Like Aaron Boone's Mike Tomlin, basically, is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Right.
He's won more. He's been to it. I mean, during Aaron Boone's years, I shouldn't say overall because he has a Super Bowl championship.
Yep.
But like in the years since 2000 and when did he take over?
Boone missed the playoffs once.
Yeah.
Right.
He's missed the playoffs once.
Right.
He's been to an ALCS three different times, been to a World Series. So he's won many. He's won more playoff rounds.
But Yankee fans, not all of them.
And Tomlin has won playoff games.
Besides, Steelers fans are going, get rid of Tomlin, get rid of Tomlin.
Right.
There are some Ravens fans, get rid of Harbaugh.
Yep.
There are some Yankee fans saying the same exact thing. Now, Tomlin's got the ring.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, Harbaugh's got the ring a long time ago for both of them.
Right.
But they at least have the one ring.
The one
Boone
ring
doesn't have
the
ring. Right.
No, yeah, Boone doesn't have a ring.
Right. But
he's the longest tenured Yankee manager with that one.
From a fan standpoint.
Absolutely.
Right.
And it's filled by the same kind of crybabies.
Right.
Like, I agree. I would say the same exact thing. Wanting to move on from Mike Tomlin or feeling like it had come to its end is reasonable. Saying that Aaron Boone has been here for 8 years now, going on 9 years, going on 10 years without a championship. Cashman's been here for 30. It's been a long time.
Right.
Reasonable.
Yes.
Going to the ballpark and screaming, these are incompetent morons, and I can't take another second. I can't look at his face. These people are imbeciles, and we need a change. Like, that's where I think that's overstating it.
Right. Like, why buy a ticket?
Well, not only why buy a ticket, it's like...
Like, it's not incompetent. They're in the playoffs every year.
They're not incompetent at all.
Right.
They are the epitome of competence.
I agree.
That's the point.
They have a chance to win a World Series every single year without Boone as their manager.
Every single year.
Right. I agree with you 100% on that. Here's Stan in Hudson Falls on the fan. Stan, how are you?
Good. Craigie, you and C-Mac, you guys are the best.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I love the show. I am so glad that Evan and Tiki are gone out of the slot.
Well, that's not fair because they're our lead-in still
they're
here.
Great.
Yeah.
No, it's not that. But Evan was always flip-flopping. I don't know if you heard him today.
I did. I heard some of it.
He said that he wants to pay Kyle Tucker $47 million a year for 3 years.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, what about all the guys we lost?
Well, they're gone.
I mean, David Stearns is a weasel. He's a weasel.
Well, you're all over the place
weasel.
Yourself. Now, David Stearns might very well be a weasel. I don't know that he is or isn't.
Yeah.
I've met him and talked to him once. He seemed like a nice guy.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe he's not a big market guy just yet. But how did Evan flip-flop by saying, I would give Tucker $47 million a year?
He didn't
at all. If I knew Evan Roberts at all, Evan Roberts right now is praying to his Mets Buddha that the New York Mets pay him $60 million a year
just to get him. Yeah.
And I don't listen to the Rico Bronia, but I'm sure it's a topic.
And not only that, like the flip-flopping, he was in favor of paying Pete
Alonso.
It wasn't like he was against paying Pete Alonso, and now he's for paying. He wanted Pete Alonso as well. So like, I don't...
Isn't it great, though?
And he's a better player than... Like, I like Pete. I do. And Pete Alonso is as consistent a home run hitter
he's bad defensive
in Major
player.
League Baseball, right? His range at first base, he's decent around the bag. But Tucker is a far better athlete. Tucker does a lot of things better than Pete. Tucker is a better overall hitter with a better OPS. He's not quite the home run hitter, but he is a better overall player than Pete
Could
is.
You
and he's going to get a better contract.
Here's the beauty and what's broken with baseball at the same time.
And he's younger.
At the same time.
Mm-hmm.
If I told you a guy who batted .266 with 22 home runs and 73 RBIs is getting $50 million a year, you might have me drug tested, and I would fail that drug test.
That's the one. That is the thing. The last 2 years, he's been plagued by injuries.
Right.
The reason he hit those numbers. The reason he hit those numbers isn't because look at his OPS and like you know.
I don't go anything past what I just gave.
Yeah, well,
I don't do any of that.
It goes back to the same argument about sacks and rushes and all the other stuff.
I keep it simple.
He was injured.
RBIs, runs, home runs, average.
Those numbers.
I don't need anything else.
Those numbers are
down.
I don't
need wins against reducement. I don't need that.
I'm just saying those numbers are down because he was injured, not because he's a bad player.
Fair enough. I'm just saying. $50 million. Average.
I agree.
On a guy about 266.
He's not worth $50 million. But if you're going to take a 3-year contract, he is.
Still not.
Bellinger, I think the Yankees would pay, like right now, Bellinger is asking for $37 million a year.
And he batted, what, 274 or something like that?
Yeah, something like that. Again, you're batting average. You're looking at the wrong stuff. All right? You're not looking at the stuff.
So you don't get
You're not looking at the stuff Major League Baseball is going to value. It's just, I'm sorry.
I apologize. I'm old school. Go ahead.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying, but I'm just
I guess the average no longer matters.
Right. No, I'm not saying it doesn't
matter. Getting hits doesn't matter anymore.
My bad.
Let's invent some more letters that represent things no one cares about. Go ahead.
He's a four-time All-Star.
Who?
Right?
Who are we talking about?
Kyle Tucker.
That's your guy.
Right, yeah. But I was going to say with Bellinger.
Yeah, go ahead.
They want $37 million for Bellinger,
yes.
Right? A year. That's at 8 years. If Bellinger were willing to take, right now the Yankees aren't going above 31, 32 apparently.
Okay.
And they want to keep it at five. If he were to take a 3-year contract, Yankees would bump that up to $40
million. Yankees from 37?
From 37, they would give him more money than he's asking if he's willing to take a 3-year deal.
Okay, I get that.
Like that makes sense to me. That's the trade-off.
That makes sense
So he's
to
only
me.
A $50 million player at 3 years.
Got it.
He is not a $50 million player at seven, eight, ten.
Okay.
Which is what we thought he was going to get. Because he's younger, right?
Right.
Last year, he's still a 4.6 WAR player. I know you don't care about WAR.
It's lost something.
I'm just telling you.
It's a waste of my time.
Right? I'm just telling you. Frankly, 841
it's
OPS.
A waste of your time.
He's an 865 career OPS player. He's a 140 OPS plus player for his career. Now we're
in pluses to OPS?
Yes. That's what we're looking
at. Pluses?
Yes.
Here's what you should do when you go home tonight.
That makes him a 40% better player than the average player. The average player, I'm just going to dumb it down for you.
Okay.
Yeah. The average player is at 100 OPS plus. So anything above that, that's percentage-wise how much better a player you are.
Okay.
So at 143, he is 43% a better player than the average Major League Baseball player. Aaron Judge has a 200 OPS. He's twice as good an average Major League Baseball player.
Okay.
So, like, you know, that's the year before, Tucker had a 179 OPS.
79%
better. He's damn near 80% of the average player.
Yeah.
That's pretty damn good.
Pretty damn good.
Pretty
damn
good.
Well, now I understand it completely.
There you go.
That's all it took was one explanation.
That's it.
Still stupid.
Yeah.
But one explanation.
Yep.
Does he get on base?
He does.
Great. Awesome.
There you
that's
go.
His average, right?
No, that's his on-base percentage.
Oh, come on.
And his on-base percentage was .377. That's really good.
Really good.
Even though his batting average is .266.
Not very
what
good.
What does that tell you?
It means he walks.
Bing, look at you.
That's what I'm talking about, man.
He hit .266. His on-base percentage was 100 points higher than his batting average. He walks.
He gets on base.
He gets on base.
He's got a good eye.
Got a good eye.
That's what we say in
knows
baseball.
Knows the strike zone.
Patient
Some
at the
would
plate.
Even say he's a savage in the box.
A savage in the box.
Savage in the box.
Who makes out 75% of the time.
Well, that's what Hall of Famers do.
70% of the time. Yes.
Well, again, on that. Not makes out. You're wrong, though. He doesn't make out.
Right, he gets on base because he's got a great eye.
He gets on base.
Here's Ron in Jersey City on the fan. Let me push that button better. Ronnie, how you doing, buddy?
Hey, Craig. How you doing?
Good, sir.
What's up, Mac?
What's up, Ron?
I got three questions I want to ask before you answer them. I just want to ask them. One is I've read on CBS Sports about the Steelers talking to Marcus Freeman.
Okay.
And I wanted to know what you thought about that.
I think Marcus Freeman is staying at Notre Dame. And I've said that for a year now. Mm-hmm. So I'm not going to change now.
Okay.
Now, Marcus Freeman, I think, is a very good coach. Marcus Freeman obviously had a disappointing year. But I'll tell you something about Marcus Freeman. As much as I like him and respect him a lot, I think he's a really good college coach. Marcus Freeman did something that I hate with a passion and the power of a thousand suns. You cannot say no to playing in a bowl game and robbing your kids of that moment, even though the captains voted for it. Either you're a competitor that likes to play football or you're not. And as much as I like Marcus Freeman a lot, I think he's a really good coach and one day will be an NFL coach as well. Marcus Freeman lost me when he decided to not play in a bowl game because we didn't get into the tournament. Well, suck it up and go to the bowl game and show everybody how good you are.
No, he held his breath, stomped his feet, held the ball, and went home.
Yeah, I hate that. I mean, and the fact that I saw the video today, too, which I had not seen till today.
Yeah.
I guess the five or six kids that make up their leadership council, their captains.
Oh.
The fact that those kids all voted against playing in a bowl game. Now, I know some kids that are going to be first-round draft picks choose not to play in a quote-unquote meaningless bowl game if you're not going for a championship because of injury.
Injury,
right. And not hurting your opportunity to play pro. I hate that, but I get it. But for a head coach who preaches competition every day, all day to his kids, to tell the rest of those kids who are not graduating, are not going pro, who want to play in another game on national TV, and this time it would have been against a really good opponent too. It would have been against, was it like the other team that just got knocked out and didn't make it to the playoffs? You can help me out of that later on. To tell those kids we're shying away from competition and not playing, or as you said, I'm taking my ball and going home.
Yeah.
Ugh, I can't stand that.
Yeah. I'm with you. I thought it was a really poor decision by Notre Dame.
I understand the kid a little bit who's going to go pro, although I hate that too. But, man, the head coach can't be the guy that says, we are not playing in a bowl game. I hate that. Here's Mike in Milford, Connecticut, where they used to have High Line. Mike, how are you?
What's up, boys? How are we doing today?
Hey. What's up, Mike?
How's it going? Hey, listen, C-Mac.
Yes.
Look, I would like to have a discussion with you here for a second, okay?
Sure.
And I'm going to tell you something, and I honestly believe this, and this is coming to you as an Eagles fan, okay? Mm-hmm. I heard you say that you would be willing to pay Harbaugh $20 million a year.
Yeah.
That's what Andy Reid makes. Andy Reid has taken the Chiefs to 7 consecutive AFC championship games.
Okay.
What has Harbaugh done in the last decade to make you think he's worth that kind of money?
Win more than 10 games a year every single year?
And done nothing with it.
Okay.
He's had a Hall of Fame quarterback and a Hall of Fame running back and has done squat with it.
Well, I mean, he's only had the Hall of Fame running back for a couple of years.
Right.
But yes, I agree with you. But here's what happens. He's a great coach. He's hitting the free agency market. That's what happens.
Yeah.
The next coach gets paid more.
By the way, Sean Payton got $18 million.
Right. Sean Payton got $18 million 2 years ago. What did he do to deserve $18 million?
Nothing.
Nothing, right? He won a Super Bowl for...
They were coming off a Hackett.
Yeah. Coming off the controversy and everything else. Like, you know, what did Sean Payton do? What does anybody do? He's the next great head coach. He gets paid what's in line for the market.
So it's just timing, guys.
That's just the way it is.
Yeah, I can make the argument.
I'm going to tell him no because I can't pay him $20 million. Yeah. That's the difference.
Right.
Of hiring the coach? No, I'm sorry. You haven't done anything. You haven't won a championship in 10 years. I'm only willing to pay you $14 million? Like, it's nonsense.
By the way, the number started at 18.
Yeah.
It's going to be 20.
Yeah.
And he even said that was reported yesterday.
Yeah.
That it's 20 million. It's probably 5 years, $100 million.
That's what happened.
By the way, it might be $105 million.
And when Tomlin gets a job next year, if he wants to come back to the NFL, he's going to get $20 million.
That's correct.
And if Andy Reid wants to rip up his contract and get a new one, he'll probably, or go somewhere else, they'll pay him more.
It's funny, though.
That's how it works.
It's funny that the caller has a big problem with John Harbaugh making $20 million a year, but doesn't have a problem with Kyle Tucker making 50.
Right.
Right?
Right.
Because one guy plays, one guy coaches.
No. Or the Giants having a $9 billion business and not willing to spend the money. They
right.
don't mind that.
Right. Here's George in Bud Lake on the Fan. George, what's going on today, bud?
George.
Wait a minute. No way.
Yep.
She said that? Oh, you got to save that call for another day, buddy. That was awesome. Thank you. Here's Gail in Bayonne on the Fan. Gail, how are you?
Good, thank you. Listen, I want to say one thing. I listened to C-Mac on the overnight for a long time.
Yes, you did.
And you're a Yankees fan, and I'm a Mets fan, so I really didn't like you.
Nor
did
I.
I did say to my husband, I don't know why C-Mac is on the overnight when he is so damn knowledgeable about sports.
Really? You said
you
that
really
to your husband?
Know, I said that to my husband.
Wow.
I said, he shouldn't be on the overnight. He should be on, you know, drive time because he knows everything about sports.
So are you,
I would never,
are you applauding me for hiring him?
Well, I don't know if you had any say in that, but if you did the right thing because he knows his stuff.
He
even though
does.
I don't like Yankee fans. But,
well, I'll say this. He's unlikable.
What? Yeah. Thank you, Gail. I think you're the one person who has something nice to say about me all day today.
You know your stuff. And one other thing I want to say to Craig.
Yes,
I have a gambling addiction, okay?
Oh, okay.
So I went to GA, and it was 23 men and myself.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay? Now, I'm not staying in a meeting with 23 men
totally
and myself.
I get it.
Somebody should say something about starting a woman's group, you know.
Well,
I mean, they did have one, but it was so far away.
Yeah.
You know, it should be more common.
How are you doing? Because, how are you doing with the gambling? Do you have it?
No, I don't have it. No, I need to go to GA with women. Let's put it that way.
Well, I'll tell you what. If you want, I can put you on hold and grab your number. And if you ever want to talk to somebody one-on-one, I'd be happy to be that person for you until you find a room that is more comfortable for you.
Yeah, well, maybe I will do that. Yeah.
Okay, well, maybe I'll put you on hold and I'll get your number, okay?
Okay. Yeah, okay, that's not a bad idea.
I totally respect where you're coming from. GA is not for everyone. It is very hard for women in GA because it is predominantly men, and it's uncomfortable. And I totally respect that and get that. But if you have already gotten past the first most important step, which is owning the fact that you have a problem, which is the hardest first step, I'm sure for any addiction, then there are people like me out there that will gladly talk to you and help you with your recovery. And I'll do it based on your schedule and what it allows. Because if you know you have a problem, you got to get help for the problem. And if you're uncomfortable in a room, and look, I shopped GA rooms. I did. When I first acknowledged I had a problem, I'll never forget, there's a big GA meeting. It's like either Wednesday or Thursday nights on the Upper West Side. And I went in there, and the A was very important to me in GA.
Mm-hmm.
The A, as you may know, stands for anonymous.
Yeah.
I had people ask for my autograph in there. Yeah. And I was like, come on, man. Yeah. Like, I know a lot of you might know who I am.
Right.
But I you know, I'm trying here.
Yeah, yeah.
So I went to four or five rooms until I found a room I liked in Basking Ridge, New Jersey, actually. And that's the room I went to for years. So I get what she's saying. It's hard. But the fact that you acknowledge you have a problem, aces. And I'd be happy to talk to you tonight on the way home and make sure you're doing okay. So please take me up on my offer. I'd gladly do it. Do I need to take a break? Yeah. Now he's saying yes, take a break.
Yes.
All right, quick question for
all
you.
All right, quick question.
All right, I'm going to give you the question
this
going
the
into the break.
Question?
It's a life question that I was debating with friends earlier today. Have you heard the term in boxing, pound for pound, the greatest fighter?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so you know that term.
Yeah.
Do I need to explain what it means to you, or should I explain just for the audience to say?
I think you can explain for the audience. For some reason,
means,
Roy Jones Jr. is the one who jumps out 100%. At me.
100%.
Like
De La Hoya might have been there. Roy Jones Jr. was there.
Right.
Mayweather, of course.
Yeah, yeah.
So the idea is that, look, a lightweight could never knock out a heavyweight, right? But they're in totally different weight classes.
Right.
So when someone says pound for pound the greatest fighter, they mean if they're all the same size, which guy would win? Right? Because
right.
It's not always the heavyweight that's pound for pound, especially now the heavyweight division sucks, is the best fighter. So using that as the premise.
Right, I get you.
And it's a non-sports debate, but I can't answer it. If you buy into the question of pound for pound, if I introduce you to, inarguably, the hottest dwarf on the planet, pound for pound, could you make the argument that she's better looking than like a hot 5'6" gal who's like a ring girl at an MMA event? It's a fair question. Now, did you want to give that some thought and answer it on the other side of the break? Yeah, that's a fair. This is what my friends and I were debating
really
this morning.
Beautiful.
Like a gorgeous. Like however you determine a perfect 10 is.
A little person.
Yes, a little person. If I gave you someone that no one could argue is the greatest looking, hottest little person, could I then make the argument that pound for pound, she's the best looking woman on the planet? Pound for pound.
Well, kind of, let me think about it.
I want you to give that some, but like, no. Don't blow me off.
No, I'm going
like,
to think about
give
it.
Give it some real thought.
Well, because I think it's unfair to larger women, to be honest with
okay.
you.
Okay. Just saying, pound for pound.
Right.
So you could take a little person, you could take a heavy gal.
Right.
Right? That the Victoria's Secret is heavy gals now walking, breaking the runway, right?
Yeah.
You have regular-sized people.
I think no
pound
more.
Pound for pound.
I think no more than the most beautiful,
so why you give
larger
thought.
Woman.
Give some thought.
Okay.
Pound for pound.
Right.
Could the hottest little person be the hottest woman on the planet? I say yes. I don't see why that's so objectionable.
It's not.
You seem like you're having a problem with it.
I'm just saying. I didn't see it coming.
Well, no one did. That's why I'm special. Yeah.
But that's what makes you.
Like, I'm in a fight with three friends right now about this.
this is what you're fighting with your friends about.
Oh, this is a major.
Well,
this argument's going to last weeks.
What's the counter argument?
That I'm wrong.
Well, I mean.
Yeah. 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 I don't know. But, I don't know.
Why couldn't it be?
That's what I said.
A smaller woman.
Pound for pound.
Right.
Like we do in boxing,
yes.
Pound for pound.
Right.
Like for a long time, Mayweather was the greatest pound for pound boxer on the planet.
But
he's 140 pounds.
Yeah, but lightweight. But here's that's my question.
Yeah.
The lighter weight doesn't give them an advantage.
No, it's pound for pound.
It's pound for pound.
Yeah.
Like Muhammad Ali was the pound for pound heavyweight champion.
Yes.
Best boxer in the world.
For a short amount of time, yes.
Right, fine.
Yes.
For a short amount of time.
He was the GOAT.
That's okay. Right. George Foreman. Pound for pound.
George Foreman's never the greatest fighter in the world. But I'm with you. Yes.
I hear what you're saying.
Yes.
So
just contemplate it.
Right.
I want an answer after the break.
Okay, I got an answer.
I want a full thesis.
I got a full thesis.
I want a well thought out answer after
it
the break.
It is already in my head.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Got
there
it.
You go.
Okay.
It's the Garden Show.
These are the things you argue with your friends.
We're in a big fight about this. And I'd like to say to them after the show, Big Mac agrees with me.
Okay.
But I can't say that yet.
Not yet. Let
Give
me think
it some
about
thought.
It. Okay. We're coming to you live from the Town Fair Tire Studios, powered by Town Fair Tire. Pound for pound, the best tire company in existence. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody.